Good morning. So I'm Steve Dean. I'm the pastor here at the church, and just want to welcome you. If you're here, it's your first time with us, welcome. We're glad you made it here, and looking forward to getting to meet you maybe quickly after the service before everybody kind of leaves the building quickly.
Happy birthday!
Hey, yes, thank you. Thank you. I made it to 45. Some never said it. Some said it would never happen, but it did. So let me give you a few announcements before we get into the word this morning. Our Christmas Eve service is coming up, and obviously that's going to be on Christmas Eve. And what we're trying to do, because of the COVID spike, we're trying to limit our services that we consider essential. You know, that we want to be able to continue to gather together, but we don't want to do it recklessly and just meet constantly and all that sort of thing. And so what we've decided to do is not cancel the Christmas Eve service because it's such a special service to us. We've done it for decades. It's just a special time. And so what we're going to do is that week, the Christmas Eve service is going to be our service, our in-person service for the week, which then means the following Sunday, which would be the 27th, we will not meet in person here at the church. We will provide an abbreviated service online, but we won't meet in person. And so instead of coming to church on Sunday the 27th, come if you can on December 24th, okay, for the Christmas Eve service. Do sign up in advance for it because this is a service that many people attend and look forward to. It will be on Zoom. It will be available online if you're not able to drive here, to make it here for whatever reason. We will have the service available online. You can watch it online. But on the 27th, if you drive to church and you're here on the 27th, you might be the only one here, okay? And so just be aware of that schedule change because of all the COVID situations that are going on. And with that, let me just speak to you a little bit just about some of our guidelines. I assume most of you already saw the email that we sent out. We put a little Facebook video to point you to that email. But when this all started way back in March when COVID first was hitting, if you remember, we canceled our services before the government ever said it had to be done. We canceled it before the other churches said it had to be done, or they did it. We were one of the first ones to do it. And we felt we were moving with the wisdom of the Lord that he gave us at that time to provide and protect community. It was important for us to provide it. It's not good for us to be locked in our rooms or houses for long extended periods of time. It's not. So we need to provide community. But we also have to protect the community that we're in, and recognizing that everybody's risk factor to the COVID thing is at a different level. It's at a completely different level. And you can't just look at someone and know their risk factors because you don't know their hidden health factors. You don't know what's involved. And so I've been a part of many conversations where someone's talking really bad about like wearing masks and stuff like that, and they have no idea who they're talking to. Now, I know who they're talking to, and I know some of the conditions. And they talk real negatively about it. And that the person who has those conditions walked away going like, do they not care about me? Do they not understand? And so in this, we've asked that everybody wear masks here in the service. We know that is uncomfortable. And we have no delight in putting down encumbersome or difficult guidelines for us to follow. We all want to be with no masks. But if we're going to provide community, we have to protect everybody that comes to that community. And so we're asking everybody to wear masks throughout the service. And if you can't wear a mask for whatever reason, it doesn't matter to us what the reason is. We're not the police of that. But if you couldn't wear a mask, we're going to ask you to sit in another room. And you'll enter the building through another area. You'll walk through a different hallway. You'll be in a different air conditioning system. And so you're welcome to join us in the service, but we're not going to let you in the belong center here where other people who are at risk come. And the mask, you know, is debated about how much value it adds and protects and all that kind of stuff. I understand the debate that's out there. But nonetheless, this is what the whole world at this point is basically saying to function. The government is not telling us to do this. We're not bowing to anybody. No one is taking power from us. We want to walk in love and wisdom. And I can show love for you by wearing my mask for those of you that are at risk. And I can also protect your finances. These are things, like when you get in the debates and stuff that's going on there, no one's ever talked about people's personal finances. But if you came to this service today and we allowed people in the service here without masks, and then we hung out after the service for 10, 15, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and people without masks are roaming around. If tomorrow somebody without one of those masks tests positive for COVID and they do the contact tracing, we now have to call everybody in the church and say so-and-so was unmasked and was here in the service with us, and it was more than 15 minutes, because the exposure definition is 15 minutes in the presence of somebody in the room, right, that has a positive COVID test. And so we'd have to call everybody and say, hey, you've potentially been exposed. We'd have to shut down the service for the following Sunday. And so for some of you, you'd have to quarantine and not be able to go to work, which impacts your finances. You know, and if you caught COVID, you know, the doctor bills aren't necessarily pleasant either. And so we not only want to take care of your health, but we want to take care of your finances, because there's so much more involved in this COVID situation than just kind of the debates that are in the media. And so in that, if you're here and you're wearing a mask and you're 6 feet apart from everybody, and you just came in, and then when we dismiss, you leave the building right away and you talk outside. If we get the phone call tomorrow that somebody was here that had COVID and tested positive for COVID, you would not be technically legally exposed. You would not have to be contact traced, and you would not have to quarantine from work, because you didn't spend 15 minutes next to that person. The only place that you could have gone past them is when you're walking in and out of the building. Well, that's not a 15-minute exposure. And so we're doing these things to kind of protect everything that's involved there. No one likes putting these things in place. I have no delight in doing this, and I know I've probably upset some of you by making this decision, but I'm called to lead. I have to make the decisions. I've made the decision. The elders are in full support. We're in this together. And I hope that you understand that our motivation in this is wisdom and love. There is no other thing that's involved in it. There will be a time to fight the government, maybe, to die on a hill fighting the government for something, and we'll do that when it's the right hill. This is not that hill, right? And so we're going to follow Jesus, you know, and in that, we're asking you, while you're in the service, wear your masks. When the service is done, we're going to hit the lights right away and kind of usher you out. You are welcome in the parking lot outside to talk to as many people as you want with your masks or unmask. In the parking lot, it is your life. You can show whatever wisdom or love that you want to show, whatever means that you want. It's yours out there to do. But in here, these are the things that we're asking you to do, and hopefully you understand our hearts in it. It's not to be burdensome, but it's to protect and love the community that's here. And so these are our guidelines. So wear your mask, keep 6 feet apart, sanitize your hands often. We got sanitizing stations all around the place, and we're going to try to keep this service to an hour, and we're going to, when it's done, try to get everybody out. So these are the things that we're doing. If you cannot wear a mask, you are still welcome to be a part of our service. We're just going to put you in another room. We're not ostracizing you from our community. We want you to be a part. We want you to belong. You know, we just want to make sure that everybody feels safe, okay? And then finally, you might notice that I'm wearing a ridiculous suit that is rather loud, right? Looking good. I am modeling today. Because next week is wear your ugly Christmas outfit or sweater. And so I get to model this week to maybe inspire you to do it next week. Do a little turn. Okay, I'll do a turn. There you go. Nice little Christmas wrapping suit. So, but today was accessory Sunday, Christmas accessory. So if you wore some Christmas accessories, go ahead and raise your hand. Someone, we can see the antennas. We can see the stuff. Very nice. Tyler back there has got the blinking lights. Yes, very nice. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for being a part of it. It'd be a whole lot more fun if we got to hang out after the service longer and actually laugh at each other in our ridiculous accessories at times. But we can't do that. We are going to usher you out. And so next week, do wear your ugly Christmas duds, whether it's a sweater or a suit. I don't know if I can get uglier than this thing, but this is my ugliest Christmas thing that I have. So anyways, with that, I'd like to have you check out this video right here. We watched it last week, but I figure saturation is a thing. So if you don't mind, let's take a look at this video right here.
December night, over 2,000 years ago, a shining star illuminated a gathering of kings, shepherds, angels, and animals round a baby in a stable. 'Twas the nativity, and it marked the end of a journey that began on a donkey's back.
Whoa, hold up there, James.
No. I beg your pardon.
Your nativity, that's not exactly how it happened. Here, look, let's start with that donkey. Neither of the Gospel stories mentions Mary traveling by donkey. And given the 60 miles of rough terrain they traveled, it's more likely they used a wagon.
Minor details. But then the innkeeper informs them there's no room...
Again, the Bible doesn't actually mention an innkeeper. And in the Greek, the word inn refers to an upper room in a house, not an actual motel.
Look, wherever it was, there was no room. So, Mary and Joseph were sent to the stable.
No stable.
Not in the Bible either.
Now you're catching on. And in those days, most animals were typically kept in a cave.
A cave?
Yippers. So it could have been that instead of a stable, the Bible doesn't really say.
And the Star of Bethlehem?
Duh, that's biblical.
Well, we're actually right for once. It's a Christmas miracle. Okay, so now came the shepherds and the three kings.
No kings. Three kings is from the song. The Bible says magi, which means wise men.
Three wise men? That works.
Well, not so fast. While the Bible does mention three gifts, it doesn't specify the number of wise men that brought them.
You mean there could have been more?
Oh, yeah. A whole posse, even.
With a crowd like that, it's a miracle the baby Jesus never cried.
What, no crying he makes? That's just a lyric from Away in a Manger, not actual scripture.
Well, of course he was crying. You just added a whole crowd of strange men.
Yes and no. There may have been many wise men, but they weren't there that night, you see?
Okay, that's enough. Except for the bloomin' Star of Bethlehem, you've just dismantled the most inspiring image of Christian tradition. So what's your point?
Point? Well, I guess it's this. Even when all of the man-made traditions are stripped away, the eternal truths still remain. Whether they traveled by donkey or wagon, God brought them safely to the birthplace that was prophesied. Whether born in a stable or cave, God provided shelter in a strange new land. Whether there were three kings, three wise men, or many, God called the elect to bear witness and testimony to the birth of Emmanuel. So whether your manger looks like this or like this, the one thing that remains unchanged is this: a baby boy, born of a virgin, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Bless you, sir. I'll never look at the miracle of December 25th the same way again.
December 25th? Oh, I almost forgot.
Stop that. Music!
So just the same video from last week, but just a reminder of, like, we see how often our culture gets into our understanding of scriptures. And this is such a simple picture of it, because how many of us have those nativities all around our house? We have tons of them. And I'm not against the nativity. I'm not against any of those things. But it just highlights to us how quickly our culture gets into our understanding of everything. And if it can happen on something as simple as that, I wonder how many other things our culture has gotten into that God wants to kind of set us free from, so that we're actually following culture and not actually following Christ. That's not the point of my sermon this morning, but I want to keep this video in front of us, especially this time of the year, because it reminds us that maybe we need to have our ears open to hearing Christ. And some of the things that we think we know, maybe we really don't know. You know, because how many of us really thought it was three kings, right? Right? And it's really not three kings whatsoever. And some would say these are just minor details that don't really matter. Do they not matter? I think every detail in the story kind of matters. I think God's trying to explain a lot of stuff to us. And last week we talked about the manger and how it was a picture of hospitality, which is what the pineapples represented last week, was the hospitality, and how God showed hospitality to us, and how Adam is not going to stay there. Mary and Joseph took care of it for Jesus. And we noted how hospitality is a trait for mature leadership. It's not just something that's just something for kids to do, but it's a sign of mature leadership. It's a quality that deacons and elders and leaders are supposed to have. And so we talked about hospitality that was in the story that was there last week. And everybody remember you counted up the number of pineapples and you got the number of pineapples. We had a prize for you then. Well, this morning, if you count the pineapples, we'll have a prize for you, but it's not just pineapples only. It's pineapples and diapers. You got to count pineapples and diapers, because what I hold in my hand right here is a diaper, but it is one of the most powerful instructing tools in the world. This teaches. You can learn a lot from a diaper. Did you know that? You can learn a lot from a diaper. Let me tell you what I learned from a diaper. I learned self-sacrifice. I learned servanthood. I learned caring and working even when I don't want to care and work. Does every parent understand what I'm saying? Didn't diapers teach you something? Didn't diapers help take you from being a little self-centered maybe in your youth to being a little more other-focused and self-sacrificing? This simple little diaper, right? And that baby just cried in the middle of the night, and what did you do? You pretended to be asleep, so your wife got up. Come on, raise your hand, tell the truth. No. Right? But it's amazing. This tiny little thing teaches a lot of lessons about what life really is about. This right here, what life is really about. If a diaper can teach you that much, how about Jesus' diaper? In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, is the angels speaking to the shepherds. This will be a sign to you, they said. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And I think wrapped in cloths, those are tiny little diapers underlining those words right there. Wrapped in cloths. The King James will say swaddling clothes. Our best modern picture of that is wearing a diaper, wrapped up. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who we just sang in a song, is the creator of the universe, the maker of all things, that all things were made for him, all things are made through him, and all things are for his glory. King of kings, Lord of lords, cosmic, majestic powers. Wore a diaper. Right? Wore a diaper. Could do anything he wanted. The angels of God surrounded the throne and worshiped him on December 24th or whatever day it was before he was born. Or conceived, whatever that, which we're going to go back 9 months before that, whatever that is. At one point, he is heaven's glory and all of heaven worships him. And now all of a sudden, the majestic, all-powerful God is in diapers and can't change himself, can't help himself. I believe the words of the song that we sang here was at the mercy of his mother's hands. Wow. I think we can learn a lot from Jesus' diapers. I think one of the things that we begin to learn, are you counting diapers on the screens? I think one of the things that we learn is that life is not a competition. It's not a competition. If it was a competition, Jesus lost because he can't do anything for himself. He's a baby wearing a diaper. He can't change his own diapers. He can't feed himself. He can't do anything. He's the God of life. He's the creator of all life. And if life was a competition, in this moment, he loses because he needs somebody else to take care of him on his behalf. He's got no shot of anything. Since life is not a competition, then this Jesus diaper reminds us that you don't have to be the best. All that stress and all that thing that you feel, that you've got to be the best, you got to get ahead, you got to be better than someone else, you got to run faster than them at school, you got to get your homework done faster, you got to be the smartest, you got to be the prettiest, whatever it is that you're trying to be the best at. You don't have to be the best, better than everyone else, to have life. I don't know about you, but do you remember grade school and middle school and high school trying to be better than everybody so they wouldn't make fun of you? You don't have to be the best at anything. The truth of the matter is, this diaper teaches us that you're not the best at many things. You're not even good at a lot of stuff. You're good at some things, but you're not good at everything. And just like Jesus needed help, you need help. And it's okay that you're not good at everything. It's okay that you're not the best at everything. It's okay that you're weak and there's some things you just don't know how to do. It's okay that there's things you wish you could do, but you can't. There's limitations on your life. You're not all powerful. You're not all knowing. And that's okay. It's okay for someone else to be better than you. God himself wore diapers. Couldn't even change himself. He wasn't better than anybody at anything. He wasn't the best at anything. There was no glory for him in this moment of any accomplishment, of attaining any goals, or doing anything that makes him significant above others. He's in a diaper and can do nothing. Jesus' diaper teaches us that life isn't about becoming the best or becoming the greatest. It tells us that life is found when we recognize that we're not self-sufficient. We're not an island. No matter what the American dream says about self-sufficiency and independence, that we just do it all on our own, self-made men and women, Jesus' diaper teaches us that life isn't found in that, but life is found in asking for help. Life is found in knowing your limitations and drawing help from others who are good at the thing that you're not good at. Drawing strength from the community that God's provided to you to help you in the areas that you're weak. Life is found there, and Jesus proved it because he was weak. He could do nothing. He could accomplish nothing, and yet he's the God of life, and in that manger, he is full of life and life eternal, and yet he can do nothing except receive help from his mama and his papa and the provisions that would come when he's 2 years old from the wise men bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh that would provide for him to be able to go down to Egypt. You see, what we're finding then is that through Jesus' diaper, we recognize that life isn't found in self-determination, just being able to do it all on your own. Life is found in connection to the community and the community providing those needs for you. And as the community provides those needs, that's God giving it to you through that community. It's that connection. That should free some people here in the room who are so striving in your walk or in everything that you do. Trying to be better than everyone, and yet God is saying, I want you to draw help from others. And the reason he makes it this way is really simple. If you were good at everything and you could do everything, you would never be thankful because there's no one to be thankful for because you do it all yourself for yourself. But by God placing limitations on you, the limitations that you need to draw from community and those around you, those very limitations set upon you, provide the opportunity for you to have gratefulness and thankfulness in your life. It also provides the opportunity for you to provide for somebody else something that they need. They're not good at something that maybe you are. And you can provide that thing for them. And maybe they're good at something that you're not, and they can provide that thing for you. Life is found in relationships and in connections to one another. This is why Jesus says, if you're unwilling to reconcile, you call your brother a fool and you may entertain a hard heart and you break that relationship, you've committed murder. How is that murder? I didn't kill nobody. Jesus understands that life is found in relationships. And when you kill a relationship, you kill life, i.e. murder. We were made to connect to the community. We were made to help each other on behalf of God and to serve one another in these ways. Jesus' diaper proves that in order for us to get that in our minds and in our spirits, to understand that God became a baby and wore a diaper to verify and prove to you He doesn't love you because of what you can do. He doesn't love you because of what you can accomplish. He doesn't love you because you're better or gooder than somebody else. He loves you because he loves you. Because he loves you. You don't have to be the best. You don't have to be number one. If you want to have life and become a gift of God to the community, you have to learn to value help. Have to learn to value help. And so you have to ask for it. Look at this right here. You've got to learn to ask for help. You will have more life when you ask for help. I think I see some, are those diapers there? Those little points in front of family, parents, pastors, and God? Who are some people you can ask for help? You can ask your family for help. If you don't know how to do something and you're struggling, ask mom and dad to help you. You want to ask that girl on a date and you don't quite know how to do it? Or you want to break up with that girl and you don't know how to do it? Please don't text her. Ask your parents. It's not going to go well for you. You don't break up in a text. If you can't have a face-to-face conversation that's awkward and doing a breakup, if you're not mature enough to have that awkward conversation, you're not mature enough to be in a relationship. Shouldn't get it in the first place. But these are the kinds of things that you ask for help in. But I know so many teenagers, I know how to do this thing. I know how to ask a girl out. And all of a sudden, it comes time to break up. They don't know what to do, and they're chicken. So they do it by text. And then all that girl's friends hate them, and it turns into all kinds of things that blow up, mess up youth groups. It's not going on our youth group right now. But I was a youth pastor for a long time. I know how this works. Because everybody thinks they know how to do it. God's saying, maybe you don't know how to do it. Ask for help. Ask your family. Ask parents. Ask your pastors. Ask God. What I'm saying is, use your words. Don't just try and experiment. Use your words. Ask for help. Can you help me with this, mom and dad? Could you explain this to me? Is there another way? But I know young people so many times, you're afraid, and I know this is true. You're afraid. If you ask your parents for help, they're going to take over control of it. And not only are they going to help you, they're just going to do it for you. And you don't want them involved in your life because you don't want to lose control. Parents, recognize that. When they come to you and ask for help, they're not saying, hey, take over my life. They're asking for help. Explanation, conversation. If my son, he hasn't done it, but if he comes to me and says, Dad, I want to break up with this girl, but I don't know how to do it. I would say, well, what do you think you're going to do? How do you want to try it? If he told me texting, I would probably say, you know, texting's not going to work. It's not the good way to do it. Yeah, Dad, but I can't face her. Okay. Well, if you're going to do that texting thing, just let me know how it goes. I'll be there for you in the end, but I promise you, it ain't going to go well. But I have to let him make his mistakes, right? Because I'm trying to help him, not control him. And so when it comes to this idea of where life is found, it is found in children and parents understanding their role in help. One is asking it, but the other one is knowing how to offer it. So our second point is offer help. Offer help. Not control, not taking it over, but offering help. I could do this for you. I can explain this for you, but ultimately this is your decision, son. Ultimately, this is you've got to figure out how you're going to live your life. This is how your mother and I have decided to live life. This is how we're doing it. This is why we're doing it. But you have to make your decision. And this is what I believe is the right way. Whatever decision you go with, I'll walk with you. I'll be there with you because I'm offering you help. I'm not trying to take control of your life. Now, obviously, there are certain situations that you might have to take control. But hopefully, as parents, you understand the situation of what I'm talking about here. But we're saying use our words, asking for help. Life is found in this place. And this is Jesus' diaper. He's reminding us that you, as the Creator himself, got limitations put upon him. You, by virtue of your creation, have limitations. You require the help of another. Someone must do something on your behalf for you to fully live and function and have life. Life isn't yours all on your own. You're not an island. You don't live by yourself. The only one that I know in Christmas time lived by himself had a heart that was two sizes too small. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah? had a heart two sizes too small because he couldn't live in a community, receive help, and give help. But as we look at Jesus' diaper, he came. And he was put into a position where he needed our help. He needed his mother's help. He needed the help of community. He needed help of others. Others had to take care of him on his behalf, on God's behalf. And so he did that so that ultimately he could take care of you on your behalf. To show us that God himself is willing to help. He's willing to be your help. He's willing to be my help. Here's a few Bible verses this morning that show what we're talking about. In Psalm 121:2, it says this, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The help may come from somewhere in heaven or on earth. It may come through a person or an angel or God himself. But whether it comes through a person or an angel or God himself, the person of faith recognizes my help came from the Lord. It might have been someone who gave it to me or someone who helped me, but that help came from the Lord. It's not people versus the Lord when it comes to help. It's not community helping versus the Lord helping. The community is the means by which the Lord many times helps. Mary, the mother, helping God. Was God helping Jesus or was Mary helping Jesus? The answer is yes. God through Mary. And we must recognize that our help comes from the Lord. The Lord is willing and longing and delighted to help you, to help me, to help us. Because he knows, even like his son was in a diaper, we all have limitations. We are but dust. We do not always have enough strength. We do not always have enough wisdom. Life eventually brings us to that point where we realize, I need something more than me in order to have life. God goes, good, you're learning. You're learning. I want to help you have life. Here's a community, a faith-based community. There's a community that doesn't even have faith, but they can still provide for you. The Magi, it doesn't say that they had faith. It didn't say that they believed he was the Son of God who was going to die on a cross and rise from the dead. But they provided for him, didn't they? The person at the in that room, whatever it was, couldn't provide anything, but gave them the cave or stable or whatever it was. Didn't say those people were believers at all. Even the ones who tithed to Jesus, paid for his ministry, didn't say that they believed he was going to die and rise again. The point is, the community can provide whether it's a faith or not. Regardless, it is the provision of God because God is not removing the gift and callings of God upon community. He gave it to community. It is community to provide it, and he's not taking over their spot. He'll help, but he's not taking control of it. If we don't take care of the community so the community falls apart, so the community can't meet each other's needs, the needs are not being met because community is broken. God's fix to that is to fix the community, not usurp it. He knows his role in helping, not controlling. We have to pray for our communities. We have to pray for our society and our city, whether they're believers or unbelievers, because so much of the help of God is going to come through that community. And people of faith recognize it, that it is the Lord, regardless of who it came through. Go look in the Old Testament. King Artaxerxes, called a servant of the Lord. He's the king of a very, very terrible nation that was very pagan and yet called a servant of the Lord. Again, some of our cultural ideas of who God can use has to be undone, but our help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121:2. James 4:2 says this, "You do not have because you do not ask." God wants to help and people want to help. There's a community that wants to help, but we don't ask. Has our culture gotten into our hearts in the sense that we're just trying to be that self-made man, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. Self-made woman, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps? Yeah. We have to use our words to ask. When you think about a baby asking, how does a baby ask? They just cry. They don't have words. How's a toddler ask? Kind of a little demanding, aren't they? Kind of demanding. As you go to a little bit more maturity, young people, teenagers in the room, you should get to the point where you're not crying and you're not demanding. You should grow to the maturity place where you're using your words and you're requesting, asking. Ultimately, we'll grow to the point of maturity where we offer help instead of just asking for it. Hey, can I help you do the dishes? Hey, can I help you clean the house? Hey, can I help you do that? I'm comfortable on the couch watching TV, but can I help you? Because life is found in being the community, a part of the community that helps. You'll find life when you learn to ask for help, when you learn to offer help, and you keep it as help and not control. This is what God would teach us simply from Jesus' diaper. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do you hear God's heart there? I will help you. Surely I will help you. Which means he knows your limitations. He knows you're not good at everything. He knows you're not going to be the best. There's someone that's more better, bestest than you, who's lived at some point in history or is going to live in the future. And none of that matters in order for you to have life. You don't have to compare yourself as a successful person or as a failure. None of that matters. God wants to help you. Will you receive his help? You receive his help, you will have abundant life, no matter what your skill set is. You see, God wants us to know through Jesus' diaper that life is found in the help that he provides. Life is found from him. The last Bible verse, and we'll just begin to wrap up here, Philippians 4:6-7 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Why do we have thanksgiving? Because you're not good at everything and you had to get some help from somebody, so now you can be thankful. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Help, life is found even for God when he received help. He made his requests by just crying. He eventually grew old enough to maybe be a little demanding as a toddler, then grew old enough to be requesting as a young person, then grew old enough to offer help instead of just constantly receiving it. If God walked, if God had to walk that way to have life, surely we would be following the same pattern. He has come and showed us what it is to be man, to know that we're frail, to know that we're weak, to know that we need help, and says, My Father who is in heaven is willing to help you. Today, God is willing to help you. Maybe you aren't the best at being righteous. Maybe you aren't the best at knowing the right thing to do. Maybe you don't always do the right thing. Maybe you're not really good at resisting temptation. Maybe somebody else is better. Maybe you failed at temptation a lot. Life isn't found in you conquering temptation. Life is found and asking God for help. Asking God for help. See, God can make you righteous. God can change the desires of your heart. God can move you. It may take time. Don't ask for help once. You keep asking for help. You keep going to your coach over and over again. The help finally takes root and you gain the victory that you want. It says in James that if you need wisdom, let him ask of God. Anyone ask of God, he gives abundantly without reproach. He doesn't look down on you for asking for help for wisdom. If you're lacking in righteousness, if you're lacking in wisdom, if you're lacking in motivation, if you're lacking in inspiration, you don't even want to follow God anymore. That's okay. Just ask God for help. God, would you help me to want to follow you again? Would you help motivate me and stir my heart to chase after you again? God, will you motivate? Will you give me life? Help. I am helpless. I am as helpless as a babe in a manger. I am naked when it comes to righteousness. I am unclothed when it comes to righteousness. I am laid bare. There is no strength in me to even eat the meat of righteousness. There's nothing in me that wants to follow you. If you are in that dire situation, if you are in that place, Jesus' diaper tells us all you have to do is say, God, help. And maybe you don't even have the words to pray. Maybe you're not really good at praying. You don't know how to pray. Jesus' diaper tells us that a cry will work. A simple cry. God! Help! If I remember right, Peter was walking on water. Remember this story? Walking on water. Have any of you ever walked on water? Peter's better than you. All the competitive people go, I'm going home and practice now. I'm going to walk on water too. Yeah. Peter walked on water. Way better at this faith thing than you and me. His shadow healed people. He didn't even pray for them. His shadow touched them. They were healed. Anybody had that experience yet? So again, Peter better than you. Walking on water, he sees a big wave coming at him. He gets scared. He starts to sink. What's his prayer? Lord, help! He thought he was going to drown. He's a fisherman. He thought he was going to drown in a storm. Didn't have any other words to say. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with Jesus. Knowing that you need God's help and knowing that you can just cry should be a comfort to every one of us. Because our God is willing and longing to help. And at Christmas, Jesus wore a diaper. The creator of the universe wore a diaper. How humiliating, humbling. So that we would be comfortable in our own limitations as being creatures before the creator. To help free us from the deceptions in our mind that somehow I have to be better or gooder or improve myself in order for God to love me or like me or accept me. This Christmas, receive the gift of God's love. He sent his only begotten son, not because you were good enough or smart enough or doggone at people like you, but he sent his son because he loves you. Let us draw comfort from that. Let us draw faith from that and begin to ask God for his help. If you're a child or a young person in this room, you're in that stage of life learning how to ask for help. Please grow from crying and demanding into requesting. Teenagers, please hear me this morning. You still need help. If you think you got it figured out, I remind you of Jesus' diaper. Even he had limitations and needed help. Do you think because you turned 13 or you've turned 16 that all of a sudden you don't? Oh, you're deceiving yourself. You need help. In the same way that God gave Jesus Mary, God gave you your parents, gave you your faith community, gave you pastors, and gave you family. Please learn now to ask for help and explanations. Your parents will learn how not to take control. But don't stop asking for help. This is where life is found. This is why Christ had to wear a diaper, so we might humble ourselves to learn that we have to ask for help and then hopefully grow to the place that we recognize that we're to go and ask to offer help. What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I give you a leg up? How can I change your situation to be a better situation? What do I have? What am I good at that you're not, that I can offer to you freely? To bless you, to help you. This is what God has done. As we become like him and offer that to one another, the community will be healed. And as the community begins to offer what it's supposed to offer, that God called it to offer, then many hearts and lives will be touched. And the people of faith will recognize that all of that help comes from the Lord. If you would, just bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. I don't want to walk out of here this morning without giving you a chance. If you're in one of those places in your soul that you don't even know how to pray or begin to pray, or you don't know what to do, you don't know what the next decision to make is, and you know you need help, maybe right there in your chair, just ask God for help. Give you wisdom. For God to give you the right words. For God to give you the strength to stand when you make a decision. For God to give you the inspiration to get up and start moving again. To not quit, to not give up. Whatever your lack is today, don't think that you have to go find it in your reserves or the depths of your being and pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Oh no, you're more than an American. You're a Christian who has a Father in heaven who loves you. Whatever that lack is, just right now, just say, Lord, help. Give me strength. Give me motivation. Give me inspiration. Give me righteousness. Give me a desire for righteousness. He says he gives it without reproach. There's no shame. He's the dad that's just happy to help you, to see you overcome. That's who he is. We're not individual Americans. We are the family of God with a wonderful, good Father. Maybe just ask him right there where you are what you need. I'm going to pray. We're going to dismiss the service. Just remind everybody just to head out as quickly as you can. If you would like prayer from one of the elders, just walk out this door right here. There'll be a couple elders there. We're not doing counseling. We'll just do a quick prayer with you. If you want some counseling, we'll provide counseling through a Zoom meeting. Later on, we can schedule that. But if you'd like prayer, out this door here. Everyone else, please head out the other doors there as we close in prayer this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your willingness to set aside all your cosmic power and glory and honor to wear a diaper, that we might find ourselves comfortable in our own skin, comfortable in our own creatureness, that our creatureness has limitations, that we don't have to be the best or the gooderest. All those things that we strive and compare ourselves with one another. But life is found in just receiving your help no matter where we are. And so, Lord, I just thank you for those you heard their silent prayers in the chairs today, just asking you for help. I thank you that prophet Isaiah said, surely you will help us. Our help comes from the Lord. You told us we have not because we ask not, but today we asked in these chairs. We know you're faithful. We know you're good. We know you're true. And so we believe that we're going to receive in the Spirit those things which we have asked. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessing on your people now. May we go with your help. May we go with your strength. May we go with your inspiration. May we go and offer help to others, that we give of ourselves to them, that they might find thankfulness in their hearts. And may we show thankfulness to all those who have helped us along the way. We bless you today. We thank you for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have an awesome weekend. We're turning off the lights to remind you to head out the doors. That way, you're free to talk in the parking lot.